Father, I just thank you tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you are so awesome and so wonderful to us, even though we don't understand what you're doing. I thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy that you have been shedding abroad upon us all the days of our lives. And I especially thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy right now in this dispensation of time where you are changing things around and taking us on new paths. And I'm asking for each one that came out tonight, Father God, for a special blessing be bestowed upon them, a new understanding of what this new year holds. And Father, we truly do thank you for your Son, Jesus. And the King truly is in the house. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Grace, what's today? Is it? No. She's the 18th. Is it Hanukkah?
Yeah.
I thought, well, you know, I read that as I was this afternoon. And I said, I'll just ask Grace about it. So somebody give her a microphone. Tell us what is you know about Hanukkah, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I can explain it. But
besides, it's the 18th. So the Hanukkah is the beginning of what? What happens in Hanukkah is what I'm saying.
Well, the menorah is when, I think it's in Zechariah, where the story lies that they only had, I think they were coming from a, well, anyway, in the temple, they only had enough oil for one of the candles. And this menorah is, like, has seven candles, and it has to burn each day.
Right.
And so they only had enough oil for one, but God miraculously let it burn for the oil supply to be for the whole 7 days. I'm sorry, I don't know.
That's all right.
I'd have to read about it, but I mean to read it off. But that's basically what it was, because it was miraculous what he did. And he proved to the Israelites that he is Lord and he can do anything. And he saved, you know, that was part of the temple, and that was very important tradition for them. And
do you have anything to add to that, Alan, since you're Jewish? Oh, wait, we got to get the phone. The phone. Look at this. The microphone.
It was a revolt by the Maccabees, Jews of Maccabees. They threw out the Greek Antiochus Epiphanes, slaughtered a pig on the altar, and there was a revolt, and they took the temple back, and they cleansed it. There was only one days of oil left, and it miraculously lasted for 12.
Did you have anything to add to that, Christopher Gore? No? Do you have anything to add to that, Mark? No? I knew it was the beginning of Hanukkah, but I forgot to study up on it. But I do know it said that the enemy did his thing, and then God did his thing and caused a miracle of the oil. So I'm saying that to say this. We need to start believing for miracles in our life. If God performs one miracle, he performs all kind of miracles. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, God is still in control. All right, I'm not going to use the phone anymore. So I wrote this down. Go ahead. There is so much disappointment at this given time in the body of Christ, and that's why I brought up about Hanukkah, and I know Grace is up on that thing. I want you to start believing in miracles. Sudden miracles. Now, I said the believers have believed in God to answer their prayers for quite some time now. Isn't that true? And so far, nothing seems to be moving, and many believe God has forsaken them, so they have forsaken God. You know, the people leaving the church has already been going on because they've been believing for God to do miracles for them, you know, answer their prayers or whatever, and God hasn't. So now they say there is no God. That's where the church is at right now. Then I said, but that is not the truth. God has been working everything out for our good, because he keeps telling me that. And he's been telling us that he is working behind the scene. And I don't care what you're going through. It looks like God isn't moving, but God's been telling me for quite some time, I am working behind the scene, and I'm working everything out for your good, and soon I'm going to bring it to the forefront. So whatever you're believing God for, he truly is working behind the scene with you, working this thing out, and at the proper time, he's going to bring it forward, and you're going to see that all this time, he's been working on your behalf. So I'm encouraging you tonight, please do not get discouraged. Please hold in there. Would you say 15 years we've been saying the glory's coming? You know, and God knew that it was going to be a while, so he told me, do not grow weary in telling them the glory's coming. Well, many times I would have grown weary if he would not have told me that, you know. So I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how long it's been going on. God is working it out. Some things he can't do overnight. But then he's been promising us that he is going to start doing things in a wink of an eye. So God said, get ready for long forgotten prayers to be answered when? Suddenly. I have not forgotten it. To get our kids right. And instead of getting right, they just keep getting worse. But overnight, God said he's going to bring these young people. On to. You don't hold on to what you're seeing or even what you're hearing. You hold on to the fact that God said, like I read again the other day, he told me, all of your children will serve me. And that's what I hang on to. All of my children, no matter what I see, doesn't matter when they were 18, they slipped off the rock, and they've been going on their own thing since then. God promised me that all my children would serve him. So that's a problem. You know, I had that song, I Believe It, because you really don't believe it. You know, you say with your mouth you do, but your actions show differently. You really, truly do not believe that God is able to do everything he's promised you. All right, Luke 1:5-7 says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both right, and look at this, they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Sorry, we just read here that they were both righteous and blameless, but they had no child. In those days, it was terrible if you didn't bear children. So that's the important part here. And they were righteous, they were blameless, but they had no children. It didn't, you know, they weren't sinners because, that is what caused them to not have children. And the body of Christ has got to understand that. Yes, you serve God, and yes, you love him with all your heart, but bad things do happen, all right? Now, not only were they barren, but it had been around, now listen to these figures, 800 years since the last ministry of miracles to the ministry of the prophets Elijah and Elisha. So they weren't only barren, but been 800 years since any miracles were happening. It had been about 500 years since the Hebrew boys Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the fiery furnace. There had not been an appearance of an angel recorded, nor had God spoken in at least 400 years since the writing of Malachi. You know, we want God to answer overnight, but look, this is years, 800 years, 500 years, 400 years. You see that? I mean, that would be something because angels were always speaking to the people. Then all of a sudden for 400 years, no angel speaking to nobody. I mean, you know, that had to be really strange. All right. Things seemed silent for the people of God. But they continued studying, living for God, and celebrating what he had done in the past for his people. Suddenly, out of nowhere, God arrived on the scene, and there was an explosion of the miraculous, It was as if an alarm clock sounded and God's word was being fulfilled. These people, even though it had been 400 years since the angels were speaking, they still served God. They did not stop just because the angels stopped speaking. They kept studying the word. They kept living for God. They kept celebrating God and all their things that they should be doing. They did not reject God. The body of Christ today, if God doesn't move overnight or in even months or maybe even years, well, God isn't listening, God doesn't care, and so I'm just going to go ahead and serve the devil. That is a wrong thinking. That is wrong thinking. And some of you in here that are older like me, you know that God didn't answer, up to this point, has not answered our prayers suddenly. He has not answered our prayers overnight. You know, when I began the ministry, I was anointed from the get-go, and we spent 30 years or 35 years in nothing but total miracles. Then all of a sudden, God cut it off. And when you're in the Spirit 24/7, it's really hard to hit dry ground for years and years and years. But I had to keep on moving. I didn't give up the ministry. I didn't give up on God. I just kept on moving because he said, daughter, I'm working behind the scenes. I am bringing to fulfillment everything that I have promised you, and I'm removing everything that's going to hinder. So it's been taking him 20 years so far to remove what hinders. Are you listening here? You know, don't give up on God. Don't get discouraged. We do become discouraged, but we cannot keep that discouragement. We must go before the Father, repent, tell the devil what we think of him, and go on and keep on pressing. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care if you're trying to stop cigarettes. I don't care if you're trying to stop drinking. Whatever you're trying to do, I don't care if you're trying to stop your dumb mind from thinking dumb things. Keep on going. There is freedom for each one of us. Miracles did not cease with the apostles. Everybody's saying, well, you know, churches for years have been saying, well, the miracles ceased with the apostles. They are still real today. I witness them, and God has promised us, expect a miracle. The reason why you don't have your miracle really is because you really don't expect one. Well, let's just try and see if you're going to do anything for me, God. No, he's not. That's not faith. You need to be expecting a miracle. Tonight, can you expect a miracle from God? He wants to give us that gift. Whatever your miracle you're seeking for, that's a gift. And he wants to give that to you this year, before this year ever ends. I look back through the prophetic words, and from 2005, you know, our prophetic words that God has given us, from 2005 until today, God has been promising us miracles. That's a long time. Now, in 2022, God said, today I want to give you a miracle. That was in August of this year. This will be a miracle that you have been asking me for quite some time now. I so want my children to walk in the miraculous, and what better way than to have one for yourself that will boost your faith to a new level of confidence in me. Are you listening? He said he wants to give you a miracle, but you won't receive it, is what the thing is going on here. Children, it has been miracle time for quite some time now, but you have not worked on looking up for all things. I keep telling you the angels are on assignment, and their assignment at this given time is to bring you the miracle you have been seeking for. So the same angels that were talking in the Bible to God's people and then quit are the same angels right now that God has sent forth to perform the miracles that we need. Are you listening? And God's been telling us the angels are here. They're on assignment. Call on the angels to work for you. But we don't do that. We're still trying to do the thing in our own flesh. I don't care what I have going on in my life. I say, God, you have to send an angel to take care of this because I can't. You know, it might be doubt and unbelief. I don't do that, but I'm just using an example. God, I can't get out of doubt and unbelief. You've got to send an angel to minister to me and help me get out of doubt and unbelief. It might be a sin. God, I can't quit this sin on my own. So I'm asking you to send that angel that breaks every yoke, send him to me and get this thing off of me. Call on your angels. That's what they're here for. Then on April the 3rd in 2021, God said, the edict has gone out. My will be done at this given hour. For all that transpires from this day forth will accomplish all that must be finished before the second coming of my son Jesus. When will the earth realize I am the maker of all things? I build up and I tear down. Every time there's a big mess in this church, he shakes it. And he sends out everybody that won't straighten up. Then he starts rebuilding. We've seen that with our own eyes. Then he starts rebuilding again. So he's, I build up and I tear down. This is a God said, this is a season of rebuilding my church back to its rightful place. I have all things in order to bring in this great harvest of souls. You are living in a resurrection period of unprecedented signs, wonders, and miracles. You are living in the days of Elijah. The days of Elijah were days of miracles. You know, God wants to use each and every one of you, but you have to truly believe that for yourself. I can prophesy that to you. I can teach it to you, but you have to really get that down in your spirit and stand on it and believe that God is performing a miracle for you, and you have to receive it. Now, I have seen three times in the last week myself thin and youthful. So I've seen it three times. So that means God is getting ready to take this junk off of my body because I can't really function the way I should with the illness that I have. But I know that I know, and God knows when I get discouraged. And so he gives me something, and three times he's shown me back in my youth. So, and he knows that I'm looking for, he knows that I know I need a miracle, and I'm believing for him for that miracle. So does he know that you need a miracle? And does he know that you're really believing for that miracle to happen? Think about this. I don't care what you have on you. God is wanting to remove it. He wants to give you that miracle. So you're trying to do it on your own strength. And God's not going to get any glory. You're going to say, see, I knew I could do this. And so he's waiting for you to know you can't do this. And then he's going to give you the miracle. And, you know, with me, he told me, you are healed. And I'm going to bring the manifestation to it. I've had people pray on me, over me. I've had people anoint me with oil. And so the other day when God was telling me this, I said, you know what? Nobody else is going to pray for me. Nobody else is going to lay hands on me. You know, come up and literally pray for me, I mean. Nobody else is going to lay hands on me because that, in God's eyes, is doubt and unbelief. If I'm continually wanting people to lay hands on me for healing, then I don't really believe that God has already done it. And I'm not being ignorant. I'm just walking, I want my miracle. And you praying for me is not the miracle. The miracle is all of a sudden getting up out of bed or just be sitting there and all of a sudden your body transforms itself. And I literally saw, you know how when you're doing deliverance, you can see, the faces, they distort. I actually saw my body going through all that and until it's completely whole. It's not going to be a man or woman praying for me, laying hands on me. And you can please pray for me in your home. But laying hands on me to heal me, God has already done it and he's going to manifest it. And I said the other day when he showed me, I said, it'd be nice if I was sitting up there teaching. And all of a sudden, the transformation takes place, right? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling him how to do it. I said, that would be really awesome. He can do it any way he wants it. I just want it to happen. I've done lost my place, Nancy. Okay, I got to find them. Okay, so how many of you know that you're really living in the days of Elijah? What is before that, Nancy? Because I can't. This is a season. All right, there you go. You're living in the days of Elijah. When you tell the rain to cease, it will cease. In other words, whatever you speak is going to happen. Are you listening?
Yes.
When you hear an abundance of rain, it will rain. Like I keep saying, don't you hear the wind? So we're going to start hearing the wind because we speak it forth. you have stepped into the time frame of greater works. He told us in 2021. John 14:12-14, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That was Jesus speaking. And he goes on to say, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. See, I used to walk in that. No matter what I asked God to do, he did it. And, you know, and I know he withdrew all that stuff from the church because the church was being dumb. You know, all churches. But, you know, God wants to do that today. He wants us to do the works he did and even greater works. And I'm not going to argue with you about what the greater works are. It could be anything. Because we don't know all things that Jesus did, because it says in the Word there's not enough books to contain everything that Jesus did. So why are you putting him in a box just by reading the red letters and saying, that's it, that's what he did? No, he did so much more. And he wants to do those same things through you and I, you know? And the enemy's working, like God told me, you're in a tug of war. The enemy's pulling on you, and Satan's pulling on you. It's up to us who we let win that tug of war. Yeah, I was watching, I was downstairs yesterday, and there was a movie on, a Western movie on, and these Indians were, they had this man, and there were some Indians over here, and they were doing a tug of war, but they had a fire there. And, you know, they were trying to get him in the fire and burn him. It was up to him to have strength to keep pulling away from the fire. And finally he won. But I thought, God, that's how we are. The enemy has us in a tug of war, and the enemy has this fire. He's trying to burn us up. And it's up to us to win that tug of war. I mean, this poor man was in a mess. But he kept getting enough strength to pull, you know, to get away from that fire. And he kept fighting for his life. Even though it was going to be hopeless, but then you know how movies turn out. But yet he was still fighting for his life. Do we do that? You know, do we really know, you know, we're trying to get rid of a habit or whatever, fasting or whatever it might be. And, you know, do we really fight and win the tug of war? Or do we just give, oh, well, you know, why not give in and then let the enemy win? You can't blame anybody but yourself if you're not winning. I mean, you know, it looks like you're losing. But it's up to you to determine, I'm going to win this thing. The devil's not going to harass me no longer. And all the time he's harassing you, just like this man, he was being pulled into that fire, but he was still fighting for his life. And he won. The woman galloped up, you know, and got him. But, you know, and God wants the angels to gallop up, you know, and free us up from this bondage that the enemy has us in. All right, God said, if you would just look beyond your needs and look into the realm of glory, you would be totally shocked at what you would see. See, we want to look into the realm of glory, but we really don't. We give up too quick, you know, because the enemy is constantly battering us, bam, bam, bam. I mean, he is relentless. You have to be as hard as what the enemy is. So then, you would be totally shocked at what you would see. My holy angels are standing at attention. They are awaiting their orders to go forth and accomplish my mighty miracles. See that? I have been searching and I have been searching for a man or a woman that will get their head out of the doctrines and theology of man long enough for me to introduce myself to them as a great miracle worker. Why don't we just become stupid? Forget all this junk we've been taught all these years. And just say, God, you know, I believe you. He says in his word, you have to come to me as little children. Isn't that what he says? Not with our intellect, not with our charisma, but just say, God, I give up. Like that one movie, I give up. And then that's what we have to do with God. God, I give up. It's in your hands. And you do everything well, right? God said, I have only been able to find a few, but with this few, I will accomplish all that I have placed my hand to do upon this earth. You have not seen anything yet. The shaking will conquer the enemy's strongholds in the lives of those who have been bound for all these many years. They will be like the woman with the issue of blood. They will finally touch the hem of my son's garment, and they shall be totally healed. So guys, as we really are the ones that God can use, and as we really move forward as strong towers that others can run into, and then we'll finally touch the hem of the Jesus's hem of his garment, and the miracles will begin. Amen. I pray all the time anymore, God, I'm reaching out to touch the hem of the garment that Jesus has on. I'm reaching out for those miracles to work once again, because the body of Christ needs miracles in it like never before. And you know, if he's saying these are the days of Elijah, that it didn't matter what Elijah spoke, he has such favor with God that God caused it to happen. And when I was walking all the miracles, God said, daughter, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll do it for you. You know, and he did. Didn't matter what it was, he did. And I'm so hungry for him to do it once again. I'm so tired of the enemy running roughshod over the house of God. I'm tired of us, you know, being ridiculed and put down because we love Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I want to see my enemies as my footstool. Amen. Okay. It is so imperative that you seek me with all your hearts, minds, souls, and spirits at this given time. It is really more imperative than you know. For this is the unleashing of my supernatural powers upon the church. All who have ears to hear, hearken unto my voice that thunders from my holy throne room. And your miracle is already in motion. And God goes on to say, you have felt as if my promises were for everyone else, and I ignored your cries. And I know I've heard that out of some of your lips, but that's not true. You thought this was just the way it was. That's not true. You remained faithful even though it seemed like it would never happen for you. That is true for some of you. You have been barren. You have not seen the fruitfulness or the harvest in your life. You have felt like giving up, but you remained standing. I have seen your faithfulness, and I have heard your prayers, even the prayers that you have stopped praying because it hurt too bad to believe anymore. We was coming to church tonight, and I said, I am so glad that I had a father who taught me from little up, stand on your feet. Face your problems head on and quit blaming everybody else for what you're going through. He never let me do that. He taught me to never lie or cheat. He was hard on me, but yet it was for my own good. I look at the body of Christ, I see no backbones. Do you? I see people who won't stand up for what's right. I see people who won't stand up for what they know they should be standing up for. And I don't mean your walk with God. I mean just everyday life. Instead of you taking care of yourself, you want everybody else to take care of you. You want them to feel sorry for you all the time. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? God doesn't feel sorry for you. He loves you, and he gives you grace and mercy, and then he chastises you to make you stronger. My daddy, and I know some of you heard this too, this hurts me more than it hurts you, as he beat me half to death. And I believe it did hurt him more, because he was training me up in the ways that I needed to go. He is making me strong. And he always told me, he said, he called me Jimmy, don't ever expect somebody else to pick you up. He said, you grab your own bootstraps, you pull yourself up out of the ground, and you make yourself walk forward. Nobody else is going to do this for you. You have to learn to do that for yourself. And every time I got a spanking from my younger brothers and sisters, I said, why? He said, because you're the oldest and you have more wisdom. So you're the oldest and you have more wisdom. And you need to quit moaning and groaning about what happened to you and just move forward. I'm really tired of patting you on the back, saying, oh, you poor thing. I really am. I'm being honest. You know enough of God. You should be walking strong, as a strong tower. So you have a problem. Give it to God. I'm not going to say get over it because I know that's not easy to do. Give it to God and keep moving forward. This thing that's bothering you, just keep giving it to God. And you'll be like, was it Paul that had the thorn in the flesh? One day it was gone. Paul didn't sit down on the sidewalk and cry. He kept on ministering God's word. And one day it was all gone. But we don't do that, do we? Oh, we bawl, we squall, we act like we've lost our mind. Somebody needs to feel sorry for me. After all, my body won't let me do this. My body won't let me do that. Excuse after excuse after excuse. You're lazy. And you just need to get it right. You have to be a strong tower. Amen. I know in my lifetime of having a ministry, God has told three men not to get a job. And I have been harassed about that forever. But I didn't hear him tell one woman not to get a job. The three men he told not to get a job was because of what they were going to do. They were going to have to be so close to God that nothing could come between them and God. The anointing was going to be that strong. Then lost my place again. What's above that, Nancy? Or whoever's doing that back there. Well, I don't know where I'm at. Okay, I know where I'm at. You thought this was just the way it was when God wasn't answering your prayers. You remained faithful even though it seemed like it would never happen for you. You have been barren. You have not seen the fruitfulness or the harvest in your life. You have felt like giving up, but you remained standing. That's where I ended. I have seen your faithfulness and I have heard your prayers, even the prayers that you have stopped praying because it hurts too bad to believe anymore. That's what I had read. Now, how many of you in here can be honest with yourself and say, I really quit praying about it because I just think God's he doesn't hear and he's not going to do anything. He hears every whimper. He hears every breath. And sometimes he just has to stand back and let the enemy have his way with you to prove a point to the devil. You know, God told me one time, it's like a chess game. I kept that to myself, but then a month later, this pastor said, everybody's out there saying we're in a chess game. God doesn't do that. And I thought, I'm glad I didn't tell anybody he said that to me. But think about it. Isn't that the way it's working? Your move. You know, you have the next move. He's letting Satan, you know, everything you're going through, He's showing Satan that you are not going to leave him, you know, God, no matter what Satan puts you through. He's showing him that you are strong and mighty and that he can use you as a witness for him. That's what this thing's all about. I always was a good girl. I really was. I just didn't sin. And I always went to church. And I was happy, really happy. Then I became born again. And I said, dear God... And that's what I said to God, what's this all about? I'm not doing sinning or nothing. And he said, well, this I heard you say, here I am, Lord, use me. And this is what comes with it. Because when you said those words, you got Satan's attention. And then he has to stop you because he knows that God's going to use you to tear him apart. And he's been using me to tear him apart. I mean, he's allowed Satan to come and take me as many times as I care to think about. But guess what? He always said, I'll always be with you. You're strong. You can do this thing. And every now and then, don't you just say, God, I'm weak today. I'm really tired of being strong. But he says, come on, you can do this thing. Get up. He doesn't give you any slack, does he? Get back up again and keep moving. You know what? I'm glad he does that because if he let us sit down even one day, we'd probably quit. The devil would probably do something that day to make us quit. And I want you to know something else. There isn't a person that sits in the house of God that doesn't have some sort of sin nature. And I don't care what they say. There are some out there like those girls' sisters that were in the prison camp, you know, where that girl was totally sinless. But you don't find that today. Why? Because we've all been taught that you can be weak and feeble and not worry about anything. And that's really gotten the church into a bad state. We can't be weak and feeble. We have to be strong and we have to be mighty to tear down the strongholds. in other people's lives. I really get tired of looking at you guys and seeing you whimper and carrying on. Good grief. Grow up. And you know, I get so tired of seeing that I tell my kids, grow up. You're going on 10 years old. You're going on 16. They just turned 15 and 9. I said, you can't stay a child all your life. How old are you? 42, 32, you know, 20? What? Get out of your mess and be strong. God's looking for strong people. Like I said, I don't care what your addiction is. You keep on moving because God said he's going to free you. He's going to bring the impossible, and he's going to make everything possible. Then God said, okay, he says here, you will see me do the impossible. They said Elizabeth was past childbearing age. You too felt it was too late for me to come through for you. We've thought that, right? I say, get ready for past due promises coming forth. It has seemed as if I've been silent, but you will now see an explosion of the miraculous. I have set you up to see my hand move for you. Let's just stop there. I'm upset. When's the first day of winter? And he said the glory was going to fall in the fall. If he doesn't fall, his glory doesn't fall between now and the 21st, we have another year to go. I'm upset about that. Think about that. I've been thinking about that. I've been praying really hard. God, not another year. I can't say what it's going to say because I can do all things through Christ Jesus, right? We want him to fall, right? Because in that glory is the miracles that the body of Christ needs. And we need the miracle first so we can carry it to the world. Come on, you slow boat to China people, get moving. You know, that's not very many days until winter starts. Y'all didn't think about that, did you? But God reminded me of that the other day, and I called Chris. I said, Chris, it has to go do now. It doesn't have to do nothing. If God doesn't want to do it, he won't do it, will he? But if enough of us tell him he has to do it, he might listen. You know, be like the person who went to the unjust judge and kept on him until he finally did what she wanted. So let's all just really be bombarded in heaven. God, you have to move before the 21st. All right? And I mean that. And I know that some of you in here, you have enough fire in you that you'll just keep telling God, you've got to do this thing. Everybody in here needs a healing of some sort in your body. So let's just get serious with God. That's how I used to be. I used to just go to court. I didn't care. I said, no, God, you said whatever I did, you would do. And now you have to obey that covenant you made with me. So we're on the little block now, aren't we? And we're going to bombard heaven, and we're going to see the miracles move. All right, God said this is a mind-blowing season. So he said it, I didn't. Partner your words with the moving of the Holy Spirit and the prophetic words that I have sent to you. You will see them fulfilled and experience that which I have decreed. And you know, if you look at, they're saying that there's hot spots all over the world. And you're like, we have, the way God moves in here, they call that hot spots. And they said pretty soon these hot spots are all going to join together and it's going to be one great big glory drop. Well, we have enough power and authority in the name of Jesus that we can go before the throne of grace and let our little hot spot become a big hot spot and let the miracles move. Because I've been seeing before people come through those doors because miracles were occurring, and I've been dreaming about that. That the church, people are just coming into the church, just filling it up, and no room to even stand because of the miracles are happening. So I've seen it, so now it has to manifest, if God so desires. Now, how many of you can believe for a miracle? I want you to really think about this. Can you really believe for a miracle? You know, somebody wanted us to pray for them today because, you know, they have a habit of smoking. And I know that's the worst, I think that's the worst habit in the world for people to break. And see, so they need to be able to come in here and know that no matter what they're going through, that it's broken when they walk in the door. And we have to have the anointing coming stronger than, because I can't have what I used to have. So it has to be stronger than it was before. And people would pass, you know, go out in the spirit coming through the door. We have to drag them in. Now they have to go out in the spirit in their car and we have to go carry them in. All right. And I know I'm sort of making, you know, a little bit of fun with this, but it's very, very serious. And God wants us to know that he's, here's what he's saying, that he's in total control of each one of your lives. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly where you're at. And he also knows you are a hot spot. And because you individually are hot spots, he's going to come down and he's going to take everything that's not of him out of you. And he's going to send you forth to do the great signs, wonders, and miracles that you need. Are you ready? Are you truly ready to be a hot spot for God? An individual hotspot that no matter where you go, God can work through you to win the lost souls to Christ. And Mark, God's saying to you that this is not by your moving that you're here tonight. He wanted you here to hear this, and he's going to touch you tonight and make you a hotspot. And now God's also telling me you've been discouraged in different areas of your life, but God said he's taken all that discouragement away, and you're going to be able to walk through this fire that you're walking through with complete surety of heart that God has it all in his hands. And he's saying, son, stand tall and stand firm on what you know that I'm calling you for to do, and then watch me perform the miracle that needs to be performed, so that you can go forth and be the minister of the gospel that I've called you to be. And he's also telling you not to be hard on yourself and really don't think back on what's going on. He said, but just keep moving forward because you're not the only one that the enemy has moved upon to cause discouragement to set in. So all discouragement's going right now. And there's a new thing burning inside of you that God now is going to escalate you into his kingdom authority. All right. And there's a lot of us in the room tonight that way, aren't we? You know, discouragement has set in. And it was nothing that you wanted to happen. It just happened. It just came along and happened. Tonight, God wants to rip all that out of you. So that's what the altar's open for. Rip all of that out of you to make you a hot spot, so that God can use you for his glory.